Hell is, I'll do it later. I don't have to do it. It's not my turn. It's not fair. Someone else should do it. And on, 10,000 thoughts a minute. If it comes to you to do something, just do it. All the unquestioned thoughts about that action are how you hurt yourself. Doing what's next without a mental argument is devotion to God. It's a wonderful thing to just listen and obey, to listen and do. And if you follow the voice, you eventually realize that there's not even a voice. There is no voice. There's only movement. You are the movement, and you just watch it do itself. What comes next is not your business. You just move, and you undo every judgment you have about that. If it hurts, undo it. It's April, and I'm on book tour in Washington, D.C. A month ago, my doctor told me that I have osteoporosis and I need to walk more. More exercise, more calcium, a weekly pill, or my bones will crumble. I love his opinion. It amuses me, and I'm glad to follow his directions. When Stephen and I and our friend Adam arrive at the hotel, we're told that our rooms won't be ready until 3 o'clock. It's noon. There are 3 hours to go. Obviously, now is the time to walk. How about near the Jefferson Memorial? The taxi drops us off at an intersection and we start walking. Cherry blossoms. Everywhere we look, the most indescribably lovely blossoms. They are in full bloom, at their peak, we're told. Thousands of people have planned their vacations to be here at this precise moment. We had no idea about the cherry blossoms until suddenly there they were in all their glory. Obviously, the master plan was for us to see the blossoms in full bloom. My doctor's plan was for me to walk. The hotel's plan was to keep us from the rooms until they were cleaned. We could have gone through this experience with stories about how tired we were after 5 weeks of nonstop traveling, how much we needed to rest, how inconsiderate of the hotel, what poor planning on the publicist's part, etc. But if our room had been ready, we would have missed the cherry blossoms. The way is clear, but only when the mind is clear. Fast forward to September. Ross's dog, Oakley, has jumped into the canal in front of my house. The French doors have been left open, and this big, simple-hearted golden retriever bolts through the doors, leaps the fence, and plunges into the water in hot pursuit of ducks. The ducks don't seem to be too concerned. They look over to see who is making such a commotion, then paddle off quacking faster than he can swim. The next day, I see Oakley's muddy paw prints across the otherwise spotless floors, and my heart melts. As I clean the floors, the love that I experience for this animal is huge. I know what the prints are for. They connect me to my granddog and to my son and to the lightheartedness of the animal world, and I love that I am that. The unquestioned mind might see them and get upset. Thoughts might attack the dog, attack my son for his lack of discipline, attack myself for not seeing the open doors sooner. There are thousands of combinations the mind might use to attack the apparent other in its quest to maintain body identification. But the questioned mind sees no opposition. It delights in everything life brings. My 3-year-old twin granddaughters, Hannah and Kelsey, open the kitchen cupboard and pull out the most marvelous treasures, pots and pans and spoons and the internal portion of a coffee press. Days later, I notice that the coffee press is still out. I love that they have left a piece of their curiosity and freedom behind. My house is very simply decorated. There's nothing extra. And now the coffee press. I love what it adds. You never know who your interior decorators are until they appear. And as I place the coffee press back in its old familiar position, hidden away under the counter, I don't miss it. The house is always decorated perfectly. This morning I had the thought to shower, and I noticed that I stayed with the email. I find that fascinating. Showering was a wonderful idea. Will it move to that or not? It's exciting to wait and watch and allow life to move at its own pace as it continues to do what it does. For no reason, when a few dozen emails are finished, the body rises. Where is it going? It thinks it's going to the shower, but there's no way to know, not ever, until it's standing there in the shower stall, turning the knob. And until the water comes out, there is still no way to know if a shower will happen. As the water pours over my body, the thought arises, what a wonderful idea.
When two great forces oppose each other, the victory will go to the one that knows how to yield.
It's not possible for something to be against you. There's no such thing as an enemy. No person, no belief, not even the ego is an enemy. It's just a misunderstanding. We perceive something as an enemy when all we need to do is be present with it. It's just love arising in a form that we haven't understood yet. And questioning the mind allows beliefs to simply arise. The quiet mind realizes that no belief is true. It is immovable in that. So there's no belief it can attach to. It's comfortable with them all. Your enemy is the teacher who shows you what you haven't healed yet. Any place you defend is where you're still suffering. There's nothing out there that can oppose you. There is just fluid motion like the wind. You attach a story to what you perceive, and that story is your suffering. I am everything that I have ever called other people. They were me all along. Everything I ever called my enemy was me. Projection would have us see reality as a them and a me, but reality is much kinder.